Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining our podcast today. You are listening to It Takes a Village, a Gaggle podcast. My name is Caitlin Schlesinger. I'm the director of Gaggle Therapy Services, and I'm really excited to be here with my colleague, Ida. She is our therapy expert, and I'm going to let her take it away to introduce herself.
Hey there, Caitlin. Thank you for the intro. I'm Dr. Ida. I have a background in anthropology, psychology, sociology, and human behavior. Needless to say, I love learning about our humanity. I'm highly invested to see our youth thrive, and it warms my heart to be here part of the Gaggle team.
It's wonderful to have you here. As somebody with a background in education, nonprofit, this is a topic that's really close to my heart and also to my professional passion. And it's so nice to be able to share some time with you, who is also so passionate about serving individuals, serving kids, and I don't know, making the world a better place.
Definitely, definitely. It's great to be a part of the team, to serve, and just to see our youth thrive.
So Gaggle Therapy is a new service that we're offering. As you know, Gaggle's been in business for about 20 years, just over now. We partner with districts across the country, and we're in the business of student safety. So a lot of what we do is that identification and intervention piece. We're finding that students are having so many challenges with their mental health. And Ida, I know that you're seeing that as well, right?
Yes. When I first learned about Gaggle and what services Gaggle are offering, I was right on board to help our youth. They've been falling through the cracks. The teenage years are a hard stage of life to go through, and add a pandemic on top of it. So we're going to have a lot of people suffering in silence, a lot of students not being able to have access to help. And Gaggle has come to fill that gap. Some of the issues that I've noticed includes a lot of suicidal ideation among youth, a lot of self-harm, for example, cutting, having to deal with any kind of domestic abuse or domestic violence, and a lot of gender identity disorders coming up these days and not having a safe place or platform to talk about it.
You know, we're seeing that too. So just during the first 3 months of the 2020-21 school year, we had a major uptick in a number of different incidences. The big statistic is that we saw an increase of 83% of students thinking about suicide, talking about self-harm. So those numbers are just inching up, and 83% increase is, it's terrible. It's so significant. So this service, Gaggle Therapy, it's coming at the right time. What the service offers, we're matching students who have been identified by their district with licensed therapists for weekly video therapy sessions. So students are accessing their sessions from home. They're generally connecting after hours. They're not missing class time. And they're able to do that from a space that's comfortable for them. So they don't have to worry about things like the stigma of getting mental health services. They're not being pulled out of class, not getting awkward questions from their peers. And it makes it so much more accessible in a time when mental health services are just dearly needed.
Right. I think you mentioned a few really important points, which is to overcome the stigma, because mental health, unfortunately, still today has stigma and taboo around it, as well as having access to care, reducing any of the barriers by making it virtual, available in their home. And now, since we have come to a more virtual world, most students have access to some form of technology to be able to receive access to care as well. And I think you forgot to mention a really important point. The funding, you know, it's free for students. The way that Gaggle operates even eliminates that barrier. So it's making it accessible to all who really need it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for jumping in on that. I can't believe I forgot. That's my favorite part. So when we were building this service, that was the big focus, was how do we make mental health services accessible and equitable, right? Because we know that there are a number of barriers to entry, right? One of the big ones is cost. A lot of students and their families, they just can't afford to receive these services, or they don't have insurance. And so it makes it really challenging. There's a lot of barriers around transportation where, you know, maybe a student does have insurance, might be able to access services, but now your mom or dad can't drive them to their sessions, or it's hard to get scheduling during, you know, office hours. So a service like this was specifically designed for students in mind to eliminate some of those pain points so that everybody now has access mental health services, and everybody will be able to get the help that they really need right now.
Right. And bringing it back full circle with that statistic that you mentioned about 83% of students having either thoughts of self-harm, have been engaging in self-harm or thinking about taking their own lives. The hallmark characteristic of someone who's in that place is someone who has a lack of an outlet. They're so shut down and they're holding in so much pain that they don't know what to do about it. So they're choosing to either hurt themselves or try to check out. But bringing a service like Gaggle Therapy into their lives will give them that really important, professional, confidential, safe outlet so we can help eliminate those feelings that they're having and help them thrive.
Yeah. So Ida, I know that you're a marriage and family therapist. You do have a private practice as well. Are you seeing the same kind of statistics, the same kind of things happening with the individuals that you serve as we're seeing with our students?
Yes, I would say it's pretty blanketed across the board. Students are generally having a hard time with just, again, the stage of life that they're in. And then now it's a huge adjustment to add to it, having to go to school at home, having all of their extracurricular activities shut down or become remote, and having to be in their homes, which often may not be a safe place for students. Right. Yeah. So there's, you know, alongside these statistics, you know, there's an upsurge in domestic violence as well. They further abuse in that sense. So yes, you know, our youth are definitely suffering during this time, and having a support system along the way is really helpful for them, really helps give them some tools, gives them some hope, gives them the opportunity to get through these obstacles that they're going through right now.
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of that from some of our partner districts. They're talking a lot about students experiencing isolation and that there are just limited resources in a lot of communities to be able to get them help. So we were doing an implementation call with one of our districts earlier this week. They are in a specific remote corner of their state, and they have upwards of 9-month wait times to get students in when they're referred to a mental health provider, right? Some of these kids are waiting almost a year to get help. And we know that a lot of kids can't wait a year. We know a lot of kids can't wait a month. So one other feature of the services is that, generally speaking, when students are referred to our program, we're able to get them matched with a provider, a licensed therapist, generally within a week. Sometimes it can be up to 2 weeks, depending on scheduling and you know, if they're not able to meet that soon. But we're really trying to match those students and get them in for services ASAP, because we know that right now they need it.
Right. And to piggyback on that, I just recently came from a very rural part of the nation where, you know, it's a small population, not a lot of mental health workers, really poor access to care. They would have to drive 2 hours just to see a specialist in that sense, with a long wait list, just as you mentioned. Another factor to keep in mind in these type of systems or in these type of populations is everyone knows each other. So even if they do get a session 9 months out, they know each other's families and social circles. So it's still not the safest place to share what's going on. So it's keeping that system still closed for that person or that youth that's getting the support. What's really helpful with Gaggle's virtual approach is we have clinicians throughout the entire state, the entire nation, to meet the needs of the youth, to help keep it safe, to help get past that stigma barrier. And our clinicians are well-trained in backgrounds with well, of course, working with youth, but also trauma and also cultural competency. We really vet for cultural competency to make sure that they know the mindset of a rural a youth or someone who grew up in an urban area or someone who is bicultural. So we really strive to meet all of the needs of the youth and make sure we make a great match for the youth. So not only do they get the service they need right away, they get the right service they need right away.
I love that. So I know that when you were working in that state, one of your big focuses was suicide prevention. Would you mind just talking to us a little bit more about suicide prevention for youth and why it's more relevant than ever?
So much got exposed through 2020, right? The fact that we had to make such a big adjustment, all of the things that were swept under the rug, all the things that we've talked about, but we couldn't really confirm or prove, really started to show up. For example, the inequities that you were talking about, the fact that certain homes, they need basic technology upgrades in their home.
Yeah.
You know, like internet and a computer, you know, which is just, it's where we're at in the world, and they were missing out on it, and they just needed to be upgraded and involved and brought into the world that we're living in, which is a technological world. And you're right, the resilience from the educators, I am also really impressed. It was a really big change mid-semester. And, you know, everyone's on the same ship, right? It was a model that no one was prepared for. So yes, high resiliency, and also just the beauty of our humanity, how capable we are to overcome sudden shifts and changes, yeah, and to also remember that about ourselves.
Yes. Well, and to bring it back to your we're all in the same ship analogy, absolutely. Not only are we individuals in education on the same ship, we came together and we all started rowing in the same direction, all to support kids. Right? Like it did expose digital divide. It did expose that there are students that have food scarcity, and we've known about that for years and years, but I've never seen so many people come together to address those inequities than I saw in the last year.
Right. And also another thing, because students are receiving education from home, it gives educators and other people a little glimpse of where they're living. Mm-hmm. Also revealing further inequities, right? It's like, wow, this is the situation that you're in. This is what your day in, day out life looks like. Let's get you some extra support. Let's get you some food. Let's get you some technology. You know, let's get you some Gaggle therapy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, and let's be honest, it's not perfect and more can be done, but that's a big reason why we're here today. Right. That's a big reason why Gaggle Therapy launched when it did, because we know that in addition to these inequities that have been revealed, there are also a lot of disparity in mental health services, right? In access to mental health care, in kids just getting the help that they need.
Yes. And you know, I touched upon this point earlier. You know, Gaggle has done such a great job about reducing access, reducing the barriers to access to care, with a podcast like this and just all of the informational webinars out there, educating and increasing awareness of the service that it exists, as well as the stigma reduction, you know, to make it safe and confidential and, you know, for a student or a youth to receive the services they need and not have to worry about any repercussions that come from needing mental health care.
I love that. So I know that when you were working in that state, one of your big focuses was suicide prevention. Would you mind just talking to us a little bit more about suicide prevention for youth and why it's more relevant than ever?
Suicide prevention for youth, that part, it really came down to having prevention and postvention. More than anything, I found in the school systems, and you and I had talked about this, Caitlin, I believe you actually highlighted the postvention piece the strongest out of anyone else I've spoken to. But I would talk to youth, and unfortunately in this area, it was too common from as early as fifth grade to know somebody in school that has taken their life by suicide, right? And I said, okay, well, so what did you guys do about it? What was the follow-up? Nothing. No one talked about it. We just all knew that so-and-so, you know, died by suicide and so-and-so's family is mourning and that's it. And you just move on. So the fact that there's no outlet to talk about, no postvention, no processing, it keeps the conversation closed. It keeps it in the dark. It's giving a message of, we're not going to talk about this. We don't know how to address this. And you got to kind of figure it out on your own.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I know that there was this fallacy about suicide. And there's this idea that if you talked about suicide, then you're encouraging people to complete an act of suicide, right? That if you talk about it, then you're just giving them ideas, or you're giving, you know, the concept of suicide a platform. And that's just simply not true. At the end of the day, if you lose somebody to an act of suicide, right, you're now experiencing grief. And can deal with grief by themselves, right? Like, it's so important to be able to have others to rely on, to be able to work through those feelings and to process those emotions. That's why postvention is so important, because not only are you experiencing grief on an individual level, but if it's in a school community, you're experiencing that grief on your community level.
Right, right. And I would actually look at it from a different angle with the fallacy that talking about suicide will create more suicidal ideation or incidences of a death by suicide. It's a complete fallacy. I think what might be more accurate is our own discomfort to bring up the topic, because we don't know how to address it. We don't know how to talk about it. We don't know how to process it on an individual basis. So it's just easier to ignore it or avoid it or sweep it under the rug with a fear of thinking, oh, if I talk about it, more is going to happen. Which the way to overcome that is awareness, right? And this conversations like this brings further awareness. Like, we just need to start talking about it, make it safer to have this conversation. And talking a little bit more about the postvention piece, having the outlets, having the coping tools, being able to talk about it. The reason why I bring this up, even as in our clinical training, you know, they teach us as clinicians to directly ask our clients, you know, have you had suicidal ideation? Like, we have to also become comfortable with having that conversation with patients, because most of us may be uncomfortable. Like, oh, what if I ask? And what if this? And, you know, what if they say yes? And what if maybe am I giving them, you know, a leading question in that sense? And it's not the case. Like, we need to all become more comfortable addressing this and bringing it out of that place of taboo and making it a common conversation, because it's one of the most preventable sources of death. You know what I mean? So it's, if we talk about it, we can prevent a lot of fatality out there.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, because suicide is one of the leading causes of death, right? We're losing more teens every year to suicide. So it's something that we are going to have to become comfortable talking about, right? It's something that we are going to have to, as educators, as community members, as advocates, start working towards addressing. I think therapy is a reasonable solution for that. I think it has a lot of proven measurable outcomes to preventing suicidality. And I also think that it's now going to have to come to the schools. It's unfortunate, because educators do so much, right? On top of the academics, right? You're thinking about the whole child. It's the whole Maslow's before Bloom's debate, right? Like, if a student is not able to feel well and safe and there, right, mentally, having the focus on academics as opposed to their struggles with mental health, then they're not going to be able to learn. So it is an unfortunate reality, but it is an important reality that we are addressing mental health goals and that we are supporting our students who may be experiencing suicidal ideation, who may be experiencing grief and loss after losing someone to suicide, or even are just feeling isolated due to this recent COVID pandemic and all of the recent unrest.
Absolutely. And I think what you just mentioned brings it back full circle to the name of this podcast. It really does take a village, right? And mental health support is part of the village. As educators are part of the village, parents are part of the village, you know, medical workers are part of the village. And it takes a whole community to help a child thrive in this world.
Absolutely. Yes. So I want to kind of bring it all the way back to why. I think that that's really important here. So Gaggle is a company that is mission driven, right? I've never worked for a company like this where every single person is invested in the mission of student safety, of literally saving lives. And so when we are going from this intervention piece of identification and finding all of these students who are struggling to addressing their struggles, right? And going from finding the problems to being part of the solution, that is ingrained in our company DNA. And it's also part of why we do what we do every single day.
You can feel it. I feel it with you. I feel it with all of the other colleagues that we talk to. And I believe the students feel it with all the clinicians they get to work with. Yeah, it really is mission driven. And I mean, Gaggle has saved a lot of lives, right? Not only with the crisis intervention piece, and then now with the preventive piece, it's to see our youth getting the support they need to get those gaps filled for their mental health services and their coping needs and their regulation needs, and just bringing back some hope in their lives.
Ida, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a treat to be able to talk to you about mental health and to just have your expertise here. And for everyone listening at home, you know, this is not the end. We've got a lot more good information about student safety, mental health, and this whole big ball of wax that we call serving students in education. So please join us for the next episode of It Takes a Village, a Gaggle podcast.